Absolutely. It's an absolute pleasure now to welcome our next guests onto the show, and I'm going to introduce them together. We've got we've got that old stager,
the lady that, the old.
The lady that you've all known, you don't need any introduction to. The lovely Nettie Bunn from Rift Accounting is joining us.
Good afternoon.
With her client, Mr. Drew Selman from Lemon Creative. It's an absolute pleasure to welcome both of you onto the show. Well, especially Drew.
Exactly.
Thank you.
Because it's his first time.
I know.
So, Nettie, how are you first?
I'm very good, thank you.
How's things?
Things are really good. Mm-hmm. You can ask me your normal next question.
Yeah,
what have you been up to? Go on, go on.
what have you been up to?
Oh, I'm glad you asked. Well, do you know what? Since I was last on the radio...
Oh, I don't want to know.
No, you do. You do. It's been International Women's Day.
Blimey.
Hasn't it? Which is getting more and more important every year. And this year I went to an HSBC thing, which was absolutely brilliant, with a lot of business owners,
right,
women that showed exactly what they'd done in the business. I do think we're getting to the point we need International Men's Day, though, because I think you're missing out. I do think so.
No, we're just having a wait day.
That's all right. That's what you always do, isn't it?
Yeah.
Now, hang on. We're coming to that, aren't we? So that was really interesting. And also Mrs. May herself, didn't she? She interrupted the Chancellor on Budget Day because it was International Women's Day.
Absolutely.
She could. So good on her. I've been apres skiing.
Have you? Where did you go
after? You didn't actually do the skiing, but just the apres.
Where did you go after?
Well, that's for me to know.
Hold on a minute. So where were you skiing exactly?
Well, I flew into Geneva.
I was going to say, she wasn't by the sound of it.
I didn't ski, but I definitely had lift passes. I've definitely been on top of mountains in the snow. I've definitely got all the gear and I've eaten and drunk.
You sound like a certain person I know that goes skiing quite often and never wears skis, but does buy an awful lot of ski gear.
Absolutely. Yeah. Look the part.
Is it some kind of girl thing, this? Yeah.
It was a girly trip. Yeah. There's nothing to say that girls have to just go away and, you know, lay in the sun. We can go and
stomp
around in the snow. It's fine.
Drink hot chocolate and...
No, they didn't have any. Only Glühwein.
Oh, right.
And Banshee. That's all they had.
What a blow.
So I had to, you know, get into the spirit. Mm. But on a serious note, obviously, April the 5th is coming round. Payroll limits are changing. Look at everybody glossing over. Flat rate schemes changing that.
Just about everything's changing.
Everything's changing.
Although, with this present government, you never know when they might change it back.
Yeah. Well, I'm so glad that I hadn't actually written anything about the national insurance to send out, because I'd have had to retract it then.
Yeah.
No, there's lots and lots going on in year ends and all the rest of it, but it's an exciting time as well.
I actually did write a blog about my disgust about the NIC changes, and because I've published it, I just put on the bottom, thank you for listening to me and changing it.
That's exactly what I would have done. Yeah. And due to my putting my view forward, obviously they've retracted all
exactly.
of it. So there's lots of good stuff going on, lots of lovely customers to deal with.
Do you know?
Go on.
Today.
Yeah.
Is the launch of the new 12-sided £1 coin.
It is. Yes. Mm-hmm. It is. And do you know that it's going out of whatever it is, circulation in October?
Yeah. October 15th.
And pretty much no one's ready for it.
Yeah, yeah.
So vending machines can't use it, parking meters can't use it, et cetera, et cetera. Yeah.
Another glorious intervention brought to you by our wonderful politicians.
Should we leave it there?
I'd leave it there if I were you.
Yeah, let's leave it there.
But anyway, if you've got a jar of old £1 coins, Nettie's absolutely right. You've got to have used them by the 15th of October, because that's when they go out of circulation.
Absolutely. Mm. Then it's straight into the National History Museum or something, isn't it, with them from then on?
Something like that, yeah.
That's it. That's that. So, yeah, that's pretty much what's going on with me. And obviously, cool. I've brought lovely Drew with me today.
You have indeed. And we're waiting to hear from Drew. Not that we didn't want to hear from you, Nettie, because of course we did. And it's always lovely to hear from you lovely folks at Rift. But it's an absolute pleasure to welcome onto the show for the first time Mr. Drew Selman of Lemon Creative. Hello, Drew.
Hello, good afternoon.
Thank you so much for joining us.
You're welcome.
He's very lemony, isn't he?
He's always lemony. Yeah. He has a really good check waistcoat as well that I
do,
like.
Yeah. It's my wife's McLeod tartan. So,
yeah.
Oh, is it? Yeah. Cool. So tell us a little bit about Drew and a little bit about Lemon Creative, and then we'll go from there.
Blimey. a little bit about me. How far do you want to go back?
That. He says that like he wasn't expecting us to ask him about himself.
No, he wasn't.
About me.
No, but he was listening to Andrea earlier, who said, don't talk about yourself.
Yeah.
So he wasn't going to.
I wasn't prepared at all for this.
Yeah.
Who am I? Father of two teenage daughters who give me more grief than I'd ever anticipated.
married, I know your pain.
Been married for 27 years to Debbie, my beautiful wife.
Who's a McLeod, obviously.
She is.
Yeah.
She's not anymore. She's a Selman. But what about me? I love anything design. I spent my life... I knew when I was sort of 7, 8 years old, I designed a poster for the school play.
Right.
And it just went all over the local town. I lived in Raynham in Medway at the time, and it got posted around, and I just knew, you know, the recognition I got for that, I thought I'd have some of that.
That's interesting. And if you don't mind, I just want to explore that a little moment.
Yeah.
Do you feel that your love of it and your immediate uptake of something like that was because you had a natural talent at it and you got recognised for it, or is it just something that you enjoyed the process of doing? Even if it hadn't have got exposure, you would have carried on doing it. Do you have a feel for that?
I would have found another avenue. I always, one of my biggest things I've always said was, if I hadn't become a graphic designer, I'd become an architect.
Yeah.
I was very good at technical drawing. You know, I just have I've always got this in my head. There's a pencil and a pad.
Yeah.
And I've always got one with me wherever I go. I'm drawing and scribbling and, you know, so in one way or another, I would have been in the creative industries of some sort.
And is there a history of that in your family?
A little bit. My mum never pursued it. My mum was a very young mother, in the 60s. You know, she got married and had me and my brother very early. But my mum's brother and uncle, he was a calligrapher.
Right.
And I remember going to London, and he used to freelance for some of the best London agencies. And I remember him, he got a pot of black ink and a selection of brushes. Mm. And I remember one day he took me up the studio, it was just off Leicester Square, and he hand-drew the Weetabix logo at the time on this, 6-foot-wide piece of art Dela board, and it was just beautiful and immaculately finished, and these curves, and he did it all freehand, and he never actually moved into the technology and the computer side of things, and he doesn't do much of it now, but I remember watching that and thinking, I've got to do this.
To some extent, it's a shame that technology has taken away some of that real creative talent.
I would disagree. I think there's technology is available to do a lot of it for you, but there's a definite way I can spot whether something has been created on a Mac and someone's just gone, I'll have a bit of that, or whether someone has actually crafted, the spacing between the letters and, whether the bar on a lowercase e is at a certain height.
He's a geek.
I'm absolutely
a geek. Yeah. Even his invoices, you've never seen anything like it. You've never seen anything like it.
Handwritten invoices, like Coots Bank.
Well, that's one of my hardest challenges, and thank you, Nettie, for this. I would spend so much time crafting invoices before we went over to Rift, and now I've just, just press a button and off it goes.
I'll have none of it.
Yeah. Wasting too much
time. Take
that
back. Yeah. Take your silly drawings and send me a proper electronic invoice.
Yeah. It saves me hours.
That question about technology, though, as well, is that whole muddle of assuming that technology replaces stuff.
Yeah.
So as in, technology is just a tool but it doesn't matter. Creative, isn't it?
Throughout history, there's always been technology.
Yes. It could have been a pen as opposed to a
quill. Someone was handwriting on parchment paper, then someone, developed the letterpress system,
exactly.
And that was technology. I can't wait to see where it's going. Who knows? Mm-hmm. But technology just happens constantly.
You're still creative. You're just being creative with something else.
Toolbox.
Mm. Yeah. I just sit down all day now and do it, rather than standing at a beautiful easel or whatever it might be.
I was thinking particularly about calligraphy because, strangely, a few years ago, I kind of got into that myself, although I'm not a creative type person. But I did enjoy calligraphy, and I went on a course, and I learned to do stuff like that. I'm just thinking, I gave it up fairly soon because it's just easier to pick a font and do it on something. But no,
I hope it wasn't Comic Sans.
Yes.
Wingdings, they were the ones. Tell us a little bit about Lemon Creative.
Well, Lemon Creative has been established for, as it currently stands, for about 5 or 6 years.
Right.
But it goes back a very, very long way. It goes right back to 1983.
He's not old enough.
No, well, don't look it. Thank you very much. Mm-hmm. I came out of London, you know, cut my teeth in London at different agencies, working for the Government Central Office of Information, did all my background stuff there, and decided to, you know, change and come out of that environment and found a lovely little agency in Canterbury. And I joined them, was made associate director almost straight away, brought quite a lot to the table, and that company has just evolved in terms of changing the directors, but effectively the client base and my partners over time have just grown and grown and grown, and now I'm the sole director and owner of Lemon Creative, and it's just evolved.
You know. They all left you? Is that what you're trying to say?
No, I ended up buying them out, which is very expensive.
Okay. So you're based in Canterbury?
Just south of Canterbury, yeah. I've got offices, studio space in my house, so that's how it works.
Yeah, okay. And why not?
Yeah, absolutely. Wish I'd done it years ago. Fantastic. Mm. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Can work in my pyjamas.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Lemon.
Yeah. I was going to guess that. So you're primarily a graphic design company. Is that fair to say?
Yes.
Yeah.
With an emphasis on brand.
Okay.
So the whole journey, you know.
Okay.
Graphic design is just a part. It's just an applying brand, but brand is.
So
to do with
for those of us that don't understand that business at all, kind of step us through. If you can, with some examples, if possible.
I was going to say, Drew's a very, very modest man, right? Mm. So you're going to have to push him, and he'll tell you some of the names that he's dealt with.
Yeah.
That you'll recognise.
We'll come and help. I'll hold him down while you slap him in a minute, and we'll get that out
of
him.
Well, we'll give him a chance first.
Yeah, we'll give him a little chance, and then if he doesn't deliver, we'll round there and sort him out. Yeah, okay.
Well, I see design as a way of applying typography and imagery and colour and written word to communicate a message, but that can be in the way brand works, that encompasses every single touch point between a business and its potential customer or whoever it's appealing to, you know, whether it's a charity, whatever they're doing, you know, but it's the touch points that branding it should be enhanced and made better.
Can give us some examples from things we may have seen
of what I've done in the past,
either what you've done, or even if you don't want to talk about clients or whatever, you know, just something that we may have seen, so that we can get in our own heads what you mean. Because I'm for you, when you tell me a touch point, I'm not entirely sure that I understand what a touch point is for me.
Well, that can be anything from your profile picture or your LinkedIn page.
Right.
You know, that's just as important as it might be if you're a company selling face creams, and you know that product is going on to, you know, retail shelves in Boots or a concession where it's got to look glossy. Every single part of that is part of the brand journey,
right?
And every single aspect of it has to be relevant to your brand. You know,
right.
It's no good sitting in a profile picture with sunglasses on, because you know that's your height. You seem to be hiding something. You've got to make someone that image has got to appeal, and you've got to get your character across. If you're a person and if you're a company, it might be. If you're appealing to, say, in terms of packaging, I do an awful lot of packaging design. If you're appealing to a certain age group, you've got to know what colours are best to appeal to those. So that might be gender specific, or it might be age specific. Could be anything.
Can you give us some pointers in that? Are there trends specifically, like, you know, so under 16s are always green or whatever?
No, it's dependent on the product, I would say.
Right. Okay.
Yeah. I remember doing a project. There's a cartoon character, an animated cartoon character called Ollie, the Little White Van, and I did some packaging through links and associations with Corgi Toys a few years ago.
Mm.
And the guy who owns the brand was adamant that this packaging had to reflect what was going on television at the time. So it's quite a bit Apple-esque, you know, quite a lot of white packaging and stuff.
Right.
And at the time, I didn't think it was appropriate, and I designed all these packs, and they all look bright green. And they just almost rejected it straight away. Said, no, we can't do that. It's just never going to work in retail. So I snuck around Toys R Us, took loads of pictures of shelves, superimposed my designs on the shelves, and then went, now what do you think? And I went, oh, my God, you know, when can we have it? And it's just, you know, just, you know.
He's a bit pushy, isn't he?
Yeah. So no, I do have I believe in what I do.
Yeah, absolutely.
And I know that there's a whole process that I go through before a client sees something.
Yeah.
And they've employed me as a professional, and I have to say, you've done that, and now just bear with me, and let's take a punt.
Yeah. And that must happen so much, because people have a fixed idea quite often, don't they, about what they think ought to be the right way
exactly.
of doing
I've done
it
this week. I mentioned face creams earlier. I'm working in association with Bridge Media, and they've got a client that needs some packaging for this beautiful new face cream. And he literally sent me a design. He sketched it out, and he knew exactly what he wanted. Yeah. And I turned that upside down and rehashed it and sent him something, and he can't believe what has now come out of it, I understand what the market might need and how to communicate that, and what's the most important messages on that pack. And then also developing an understanding of how that's going to be produced, what finishes of paper, what foil effects and all that sort of stuff.
For me, I think that's a crucial thing that most of us lack as well. A lot of us, and it's interesting talking about the youngsters last night with Young Enterprise, the first thing that they all do with their business is design logos and stationery. They don't think about a product. The exciting bit is getting business cards and logos and stationery and company names, which is interesting. But I think as a professional, I'm assuming a lot of what you know is what the finished product would actually look like in situ. And is that what you mean by touch points as well?
Yes.
I could get a piece of paper and design something that I think looks really nice and then go, right, now I want that on the side of a tin box. And you go, well, it won't work on a tin box. Mm.
Yeah.
Is that fair to say?
Yeah. When I say touch points, it is, it could be the pack on the shelf. Mm. It could be your letterhead. It could be your business card. One of the fundamental things I love doing is new logos and business cards, because that's someone's first impression of the client that I'm working for. Mm. And, if you get that wrong, it could mean make or break for that person's business. Yeah. So,
absolutely.
Sometimes it's a bit like I feel quite challenged sometimes because, I won't say get right, like writer's block, but, someone might come to me and say, I need a new logo type. And it's, where do you start? Because it's a bit like a comedian. You've got to think of a new joke every time, otherwise you're not funny.
Otherwise they all look the same. Right?
And I have to design a new logo every single time someone comes to me. And there's an awful lot of research goes into it to make sure that I'm not doing something that someone in South Africa or somewhere else has developed.
Yeah.
And it's really challenging to come up with something unique every single time.
It's interesting. I'm sure that bit about sort of doing stuff that people aren't expecting or doing extra has got to be part of that real uniqueness as a designer. I just looked it up. I was listening to that guy on Desert Island Discs a little while ago who invented the high-speed train, and he was only asked to design the livery. And because he had quite a long period of time to do it, he got really carried away. He realised they didn't need bumpers anymore and then came up with the bullet design.
Okay.
So, absolutely wasn't prepared to follow a brief, had extra time and got all creative. It sounds like the sort of thing that you might do.
Well, that's part of the reason why we've got creative in the name. It could just be Lemon Art Shop or whatever it might be. I had a guy come around at Grow Kent when we were exhibiting last week, and he said, what does Lemon Creative do? And I said, that's the difference. We are creative. If the budget doesn't allow and you've got a specific idea and, there's certain criteria you've got to stick to, creativity sometimes doesn't get out of the box. But a lot of the time, I will bend someone's rules or, challenge their perceptions of what they think they want and say, what about that? And usually they dig a little bit deeper and say, can I have it?
That's what you mean by touch points, because actually you're thinking about all the times those people are going to connect with those individuals, and you've got ideas for that, whereas people haven't even thought about that yet.
Those touch points have to be different from all of their competitors, otherwise they don't stand out.
I had a thing recently a few months ago where an organisation I'm involved in and had a new logo done, and they've had two, and they asked everybody that was involved in it which of the two that they wanted, and they were quite similar. And everybody picked one particular logo, and I picked the other one. And there wasn't a huge amount of difference in the two logos, but me not being a creative, there was one thing I did realise, that the one I picked would work far better on social media than the one that everybody else picked. But they went with the other one, and then the first time I tried to use it on social media, I went, I see what you mean, because it just didn't reproduce very well on a tweet. More so now, you have to think there are more touch points, I guess, than there ever were in the past.
Yeah, we've just done I've worked in association with a marketing person as well, and we've just done a huge rebrand of a theological establishment from Canterbury. And brilliant bunch of guys. I remember we went into a presentation one day and they couldn't make a decision, so they started arguing with each other in Latin. And,
brilliant.
Show me the door, please. But that was brilliant. And like you say, we had to develop a logo that could go in the little box in Twitter and on Facebook, and then you know, another logo that works horizontally for their website, but a logo that works in a different way on their literature. So they haven't just got one logo, they've got about four or five. And that's not even taking into account, you know, the fact that one's got to be used for print, so that's got to be set up in a certain way. One from, you know, online is RGB, and then black and white for other use. It just becomes endless, you know.
Yeah.
So one logo might be the brief, but you could end up with 20 or so different variations.
You know? Absolutely. It's a fascinating topic, isn't it? Because it's something that affects all of us, really. We all have logos and, and branding and images in our lives and in our products and services and all the things that we do. And for start-up businesses, a bit like the young students, most startup businesses do the same thing, try to design their own logo and think of their own name.
But which also, is what, as you say, focus on it, that becomes the first thing. Rather than thinking about a product, going back to Andrea earlier, a product and how I'm going to sell it, people think about a logo and how I'm going to look.
And I was going to say, you kind of, it sounds like you work backwards, actually, from the customer's point of view as well as...
Yeah, because clients come to me sometimes, you know, oh, I want to do this, and my favourite colour is green. So what? What's right for your market? Not whether or not what colour you like.
But it is, isn't it? I just know thousands of people that do that, and they go, "No, well, I like purple."
So it has to reflect your character or personality. If you're small, but you know, it doesn't have to be. It's got to appeal to your target audience.
Talking of which, we've alluded to the lemon creative bit, but obviously people can't see us in the studio with you sitting at the yellow microphone in your yellow shirt.
It is a bit overdone today.
Yellow pen and your yellow phone cover. Tell us more about your own branding touch points with your clients.
It's important to me that I want to, you know, it's a bit like Apple. You know, you get today where you recognize Apple just by seeing an Apple. What my aspiration is that someday anybody will look, they'll see a yellow car and they'll think of Lemon Creative, or they'll think of...
You know, did you invent that lemon car game that car game that my daughter keeps annoying me with?
But that's how I want it to be. People do recognise me for wearing something yellow, and then people that associate with my company, they will embrace this because they feel empowered by it. You've got a phenomenal reputation in Kent. You know, we've been doing this for such a long time. And I want that to be in people's minds. You know, it's a beautiful, warm, friendly colour. There's nothing off-putting. I've had a few things, you know, like Mr. Lemon Meringue or whatever, lemon curd and all that.
But lemon sherbet sweets, though, don't
I do. I've got some in my pocket. Is there one now?
I'm just going to repaint my own yellow now. I'm worrying that I'll be thinking about lemon creative all the time.
Always lemon sherbet.
Thank you.
I didn't even know he had them. I was just making a point. Always lemon sherbet.
You had your hand in his pocket, I know.
Why yellow then? Or lemon? Which came first?
The yellow did come first. When we were a former company, but the back of our letterheads was yellow, and we had quite a large client base, and we didn't just suddenly want them to say, "Who the hell are these new guys on the block?" We wanted some continuity there. So we were going to go with the company called Yellow Creative, and we were advised not to because of how strong Yellow Pages was at the time. And it was a 50-50 split between me and my business partner at the time, so our administrator flipped a coin and made the decision for us, and we went Lemon rather than Yellow. But it's grown, it's good, and I do focus on that now and again. You know, I didn't want to because it's always a bit hammy. It can be, can't it? You know, you can...
Yeah,
but you know, we use words like zesty and fresh solutions and that sort of thing. Which does work.
And squeeze me. Oh no!
Yeah, I think that's just you.
Thank you for that. I'll try that.
There's always eggs as well.
I think it can feel hammy is the word you use. You know, like that when you're in it. Because you see it all the time, so you think, "Oh, here we go. I'm saying the same things again," sort of thing. But for new people, or for people who, you know, aren't there all the time, actually it's doing exactly what you want it to, which is it has got that hook. But it's not, but I don't think, you know, I saw you at Grey Kent last week, having seen you at the East Kent B2B a few months ago, you know, and it was like, "Oh, here they are again." They're really pushing it now. You know, it's all this yellow.
I do get compliments on it, you know, especially if I do have a yellow shirt or a yellow handkerchief or a yellow waistcoat.
That whole branding thing is fascinating. In my primary business, Jobs in Kent, I've got a fleet of cars. We've got about 8 cars. They're all different makes and models, but they're all sign written with Jobs in Kent and our logo on it. And, careful. Netta's just shown me some of the design packaging, which I can't show you, obviously, because we're on the radio, but that Drew's done. That's fantastic.
Signed cars.
Sign written cars, and I used to drive one myself, just a little Peugeot that was sign written. And you park in a car park, and always, always, someone would walk up to me, and they go, "Got any jobs?" And I go, "Yeah, that's why it says it on the car." But you know, although that can be a little bit annoying after a while, it's working. Yeah. The branding's working. That's what it's for. It's to make it stand out, and it never ceases to amaze me. We also, many years ago, had a radio advert, which was an earworm. It was a Sonic thing. And the first time I heard it, I said to the creative guy, "That's awful, that's rubbish." And he went, "Trust me, go with it." Yeah. I went, "But it's horrible, it's rubbish." And we played it on the radio, on a major radio station, and I went up to get a sandwich at lunchtime, and two people walked up to me and sang it at me. And you go, It's just amazing how those things work.
Yeah. And the more annoying, the more memorable things are. Yeah. You know, we've only got to look at some of the...
And Nettie's just shown me on an iPad a lot of the work you're doing and some of the brand names. If you're comfortable to mention them, I'm happy. Yeah, so you've got Hornby and Airfix and Corgi and a lot of toys in there, Drew.
There is a lot of toys,
There's a lot of toys there.
Yeah, yeah. Historically.
Currently,
I've probably got about 10... UK-based toy manufacturers that I'm working for, developing packages.
Is that all?
Yeah. they're brilliant. You know, they're great customers. They really understand the value of design, and you know, they're willing to pay
My favourite of yours was Brian.
Oh, Brian the Robot.
You know Brian the Robot?
I think so.
Yes, you do.
Yes, you do. The Confused.com.
That Brian. Sorry. Yeah, yes, yeah.
Drew's Brian.
Oh, is it really?
Oh, really?
Yeah. I didn't design Brian.
No, packaging for Brian.
Yeah, the advertising agency in London, a company called Publicis, approached me because they were challenged with getting this product that they made for their consumers to have as a freebie. Mm. They couldn't get it out of China safely because they were worried about damage and all that sort of thing, and they wanted it to have some packaging. So I developed this construction so that it worked, but I also designed it in a way that it became part of the toy. So the little robot went into this cardboard packaging as his, like, docking station.
Right, okay.
And it had pull-out interactive features. Yeah, and it got nominated for a design award in 2015. So.
Wow, brilliant. That's my point about modesty here.
Absolutely. Mm-hmm. No, that's fantastic.
Yeah, thank
you. Sorry, Brian the Robot. Yes, no, you threw me down. I was thinking of a toy, not an advert.
I think he's been ousted now, though, hasn't he?
Yeah, I think he has.
He's gone.
Well, you know how fickle this toy world is.
But at the same time, toys will always go in and out of fashion, and gimmicks do.
Yeah,
like,
take a look at Scale. You know, I've worked for Scalextrics for many, many years. If anyone's owned a Scalextric set since the early 90s, I've probably designed it.
Right.
Okay. Less so recently. They've got their own nice in-house team now doing a lot of that.
Right.
But yeah, it's amazing how things come and go. You know, Scalextrics 1 year is really popular. You know, then Xbox will bring out a new version, so Scalextrics sales go off. But a couple of years later, they'll put a little bit of tech inside and bring it up to scratch. And it's amazing.
What a job!
Toys. Now we're talking toys. Yeah. Now we're all understanding what's
Scalextrics,
going on.
Yeah, now you got me. No, I love it. We could talk about this forever. Sadly, we've run out of time, Drew. Cool. So thank you so much for joining us on the Business Bunker Show for the first time. If people want to find out more about what you do and you and follow you and all the social media and all that, how can we do that?
Lemoncreative.co.uk is the website, and lemoncreativeuk hashtag on Twitter.
Fantastic.
Yeah, nice and easy.
Lemoncreativeuk or lemoncreative.co.uk website.
Yep.
Drew, thank you so much for that. Absolutely fascinating.